Welcome to day 13 of Daily Acts. This is a 28-day journey through the book of Acts, the 28 chapters there. My name is Pastor Randy Green, and I will be your guide for today. I hope that you've been enjoying the teaching from the book of Acts. I know that I have. And so today we're picking up where Barnabas and Saul and John Mark are coming back from Jerusalem. They had been in Jerusalem giving an offering or delivering an offering to the poor saints there in Jerusalem from the church in Antioch. And so in Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1, if you would go ahead and turn there, says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And so here we see that they're in Antioch of Syria. It was located at the head of the Orontes River in the southeast corner of Asia Minor. It was roughly 300 miles north of Jerusalem. It was a thriving center of trade around the Mediterranean Sea. It was ranked third in its importance after Rome and Alexandria, and was dubbed the Queen of the East. Scholars estimate, I mean, this was a huge city. They estimated the population to be around 100,000 to 500,000 people in the biblical time. So we're talking about a huge city. So, and so then he says, look at these lineup of the leaders of the church in Antioch. First of all, there was Barnabas. We know of Barnabas. He was called the son of encouragement. In Acts chapter 11, we find out about him that in verse 24, it said he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And so that's a good thing for anybody to talk to you, to say about you, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And then you see Simeon called Niger. Niger is a Latin word that means black. Many black Africans had embraced Judaism before the time of Christ. Then there was Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. This Manaen mentioned here grew up with him, and he was almost, some people think he was almost kind of like a foster brother to him. This was the same Herod that beheaded John the Baptist and presided over one of Jesus's trials in Luke chapter 23. Herod and Manaen grew up together, but went very, very different ways. One killed John the Baptist and presided over the trials of Jesus. The other became a great Christian leader in the dynamic congregation of Antioch. So in verse 2, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, and for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. Now, Antioch was the first church to actually send out missionaries. As a church, sent these guys out. While they were worshiping, it says, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul. That message from the Spirit more than likely came from one of the prophets there. And so it says they were fasting and they were praying. And that's what we need to continue to do today. We need to fast and we need to pray, and we need to ask God to give us direction on what we need to do. Powerful things happen when you fast and pray. Several years ago, I was fasting and I was praying. And I was asking the Lord, I was saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me and my family to do? And we were kind of at a crossroads of things. And so, you know what happened after fasting and praying and everything? God sent us to Russia, to Siberia. We were there. We had several churches during this time as we were getting ready to go to Siberia, that they laid their hands on us and they prayed over us to send us out. And I'll never forget the power of those prayers. I'll never forget those brothers and sisters as they prayed for our safety. They prayed for our journey. They prayed for the success of the gospel, of the spreading the good news of the gospel of God's grace. And it was mine and Sandra and our family's very first missionary journey. Sandra and I and the kids, okay? And so I had four kids. And so you'll see here a picture of us. I was only like 38 years old and Sandra was just really young. And so, but God blessed it. And so we started off preaching and teaching Jesus. We started off in our living room and then God made it grow. And as you see, God made it grow. And there's a picture here in the 20th year anniversary that we went back to be a part of the anniversary there. And you see that picture of all those folks there. And these people were people who did not know Christ. There was not a church there. We started it off in our living room, and it was really great. And so on the Tomps 20th anniversary of the Tomps Christian Church, that's what that picture is. So verse 4, it says, the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. Notice they proclaimed the word of God. Okay, it was the word that they were speaking. When we today proclaim the word of God, powerful things happen. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, or hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so faith is brought when you hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So they went to the Jewish synagogues and they proclaimed Christ. It was a great thing. So verse 6, they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Bar-Jesus means son of Jesus, okay? And so he was a Jewish sorcerer. God has always condemned sorcery. He was said that he was a false prophet. People say, well, how do you know if a prophet is false? It's very easy. If what he prophesies does not come true, he's false. All right. And so he was a false prophet. So in verse 7, it says this guy was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. Now, a proconsul was a Roman official appointed by the Senate in Rome. That's not to be confused with a procurator like Pilate, who was appointed by the emperor. And so it says in verse 8, but Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them, and he tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. And then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, now look, this is where Saul's name changed to Paul. Okay? And so he referred to as Paul throughout the rest of the New Testament right here. And so, but he looks at Elymas and this is what he says. And I tell you what, I have seen people rebuked before, but I don't know if I've ever heard it any stronger than this right here. And this is what he said to him in verse 10. He says, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Wow. I mean, what a rebuke. I mean, can you imagine standing there in front of a bunch of people and getting a rebuke like that? He said, you're a child of the devil. You know, by the devil, he practiced sorcery. You're an enemy of everything that is right. Just think about enemy of everything that is right, the opposite of righteousness. He said, you're full of deceit and trickery. Practicing deception, perverting, he said, the right ways of the Lord. Listen, there is a right way and there is a wrong way, and he was perverting the right way of the Lord. You know, actually, I mean, I guess you can see right here, Paul did not worry about being politically correct as he was talking with this guy. I mean, he nailed him. Verse 11, it says, now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time, you'll be unable to see the light of the sun. Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Verse 12, and when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Wow. I mean, the power of the Lord was on Paul here. Not only did he have the power to heal, but he could cause blindness to come on Elymas. Notice, again, immediately the suddenness and the fullness of the miracle. You remember Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9? He was struck blind, and he was blind for 3 days. But he repented. And we don't know about Elymas. We don't know what he did, but for 3 days, Saul was blind. We don't know how long that Elymas was blind, but one thing, he was blind long enough that the proconsul there, he understood and believed and was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Verse 13 says, so from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Remember, John had accompanied them to begin with in Antioch. And in here, John Mark takes off and goes back to Jerusalem. And you'll find out more about that later on. There was a big dispute about that between Barnabas and Paul. And so in verse 14, he says, from Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath day, they entered the synagogue and sat down. Now, remember, the prophets and the teachers in the Antioch church laid their hands on Barnabas and Paul and sent them off to their journey. The duo traveled on to Cyprus and then headed over to another city named Antioch. And that's kind of confusing, all right? And so there were 16 or maybe 17 cities in that region named Antioch in the ancient world. Their founding is credited to Seleucus the First Nicator in about 300 BC. He was the head of the Seleucid dynasty following the death of Alexander the Great. Scholars think that he founded at least 60 cities, naming many of them Antioch in honor of his father Antiochus. But biblical writers were only interested in two of them, Syrian of Antioch, where we first started off with, and then Pisidian Antioch, where we're at right now. Both cities played a key in early Christianity. So in verse 15, after the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue ruler sent word to them, saying, brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak. And so, you know, scripture reading in the synagogues, that was something that followed a regular schedule, which enabled the congregation to read through the law, Genesis through Deuteronomy, and also the prophets. And they did it like in a 3-year cycle. And so they would read from the law, they'd read from the prophets, then they would sit down. And then if there was someone there, they would allow that person to expound upon that. That's one reason that Paul and Barnabas would go to the synagogues, because they had a ready-made audience there to speak. So they first knew they had the opportunity to speak to Jews and who knew about God. And of course, it didn't always end up very good for them. As you continue reading through the book of Acts, it ended up pretty bad many times. So in verse 16, standing up, Paul motioned with his hand, and he said, men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of their country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew 7 nations in Canaan, and he gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. Notice, he says that God is the one who made them prosper, that God was the one who endured through the wilderness wandering. And then he says this, after this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel, the prophet. And then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. And after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him. He said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, and he'll do everything that I want him to do. Of course, we know David was a man who did a lot of things that God was displeased with, but he had a heart to follow God and to do God's will in all the things that he did. I mean, he had a heart to follow God and do his will, even though he knew that he blew it all the time. You know, our prayers need to be like this. Lord, I desire to have your heart. I desire to have your mind. Lord, I desire to have your love, your spirit, your conviction, your Holy Spirit in me, your power to do your will. We need to all try to be men and women who are seeking and desiring the heart of God. Verse 23, it says, from this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus. So he talks about Israel's history first in this sermon, and then next this is where he goes. So from this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, who do you think I am? I'm not that one. No, but he's coming after me whose sandals that I'm not worthy to untie. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and the rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and they laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. I mean, there were many witnesses, over 500 that you find out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So this might be the very first time that these people actually heard the real true facts about the crucifixion of Jesus. You know, you got to realize that they didn't have television and telegraphs and all that kind of stuff over there. And so this could be possibly the first time that they actually heard the real truth about what Jesus was, about the crucifixion of Jesus and his death and resurrection. You know, they had fake news even back then regarding the resurrection of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 12 through 15, listen to what this says. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you're to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. And that story continues to be circulated among the Jews and other people that Jesus didn't actually raise from the dead, but that he died and he stayed dead. Listen, the Jews today still have a veil over their eyes, which they still can't see clearly that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that they demanded him to be crucified by the hands of the Roman soldiers. Verse 27 says, so they didn't recognize Jesus. Listen, they looked for his coming, but they didn't recognize him. And so in verse 32, he says, we tell you the good news. Here's the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm. You're my son today, and I have become your father. And the fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words. I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it's stated elsewhere. You will not let your Holy One see decay. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. And he was buried with his forefathers and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. That was Jesus Christ. Therefore, okay, in view of all this, he says, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything that you could not be justified from the law of Moses. Look, he says, listen, it's through Jesus that we are justified, through faith in Jesus Christ. Can't do it through the law. You can't do it through the law of Moses. Verse 40 says, take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. And we need to listen. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. So, I mean, that's a mouthful of a sermon, okay? This is actually Paul's first sermon that is recorded. And like Peter, he went back and he rehearsed Israel's history to begin with. And then, like Peter, he spoke of what they had done to Jesus Christ and the good news of the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 38, through Jesus, he says, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. You know, it's only through Jesus. You don't get your sins forgiven through any other name other than Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we've already looked at, it says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And so it's the name of Jesus that we are saved. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. Now, it's always a good feeling if you've gone somewhere to preach or teach and something, they invite you back. And so that's what they did with Paul and Barnabas. They invited them back to come back the next week when the congregation met. And so, verse 43 says, when the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. Now look, there's nothing more exciting than to preach about Jesus and the people actually listen to you. There's an eagerness in people. And when they begin to listen and follow Jesus, listen, they wanted to hear more about God's grace of the good news of Jesus. So on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. And when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Two things here. First, they wanted to hear the word of the Lord. You know, can you imagine the conversations that must have gone on in their homes throughout the week before? You know, things like, wow, I didn't know that these scriptures had been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Or maybe, wow, I didn't realize that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. How could the teachers of the law and the rabbis, the leaders in Jerusalem have missed all of this? How in the world? How could they have crucified Jesus? You know, I'm sure there are conversations that went along with those questions. You know, do you remember when you first understood and heard the word of the Lord? You remember that? You remember how you just couldn't get enough of the scripture, and that's what these guys were doing. They wanted more, and they wanted more, and they wanted more. I want to ask you a question. Do you still thirst and hunger for the word of God? Secondly, you'll see here that these people were jealous. You know, jealous people do anything that they can do to keep their position and save their pride. John the Baptist was one of the greatest examples of a person who was not jealous of Jesus and his ministry. In John chapter 3 and verse 30, it says, he was talking about Jesus. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist knew that he was the forerunner for Jesus Christ and that Jesus would be increasing as his ministry decreased. Verse 46, and then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. Listen, we had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. He says, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So Paul and Barnabas, they definitely took this message to heart. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 15 and verse 20 and 21, he says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. I've had the opportunity and the honor two times to go and preach and teach and plant churches in other countries. We lived in Siberia and in Kazakhstan, and I can tell you that it has been such a blessing to me and to my family to take the good news of the gospel of grace to people. We went to Tomsk, Siberia in Russia in 1994 and took our family. And what a blessing. We still have such close and deep relationships with those brothers and sisters there. In 2001, we took our family again to Kazakhstan. We went to Almaty, Kazakhstan. And God has blessed both of these churches with people that have come to the Lord, people who have come to know Jesus Christ, and these churches still exist today. Even though sometimes under persecution, they continue to exist, and they still meet together and they share the good news of the gospel of God's grace. I speak to them often, like on Skype or on these Zoom messages and different things like that. And it's fun to be able to see them and to know them. And they're like our family. And Sandra and I and our whole family, we love them. We love them dearly. And so when the Gentiles heard this, it says in verse 48, they were glad and honored that the word of the Lord and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. So God had a harvest among the Gentiles, there as well as around the world. You know, the good news, God loves the Gentiles too. Praise the Lord. You know, the word of the Lord, it says, spread through the whole region. And so how did it spread? You know, there was no telephones. There was no telegraph. There was no television. It was by their witness and by their testimonies. It was just tell a man, tell a woman. Good news is hard to contain. It just comes out of you. Verse 50 says, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went on to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So again, we see persecution stirring up against Paul and Barnabas. They were kicked out of a town. They went on. They shook the dust off their feet. This is an expression that Jesus told them to do when people rejected the word that they preached to them. Luke chapter 9, verse 5 says, if people do not, this is Jesus speaking. He says, if people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So, in conclusion today, I want to encourage you to share the good news of the gospel of God's grace. Be bold. Tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. Share how Jesus has changed your life and the life of others around you. Share how there is an empty grave over there in Jerusalem that there's no one there because Jesus Christ came out of that grave. You don't have to go across the world to evangelize. Listen, you don't have to go to Siberia. You don't have to go to Kazakhstan. Just do it right in your own household or your own family. Share Jesus with your neighbor. Share Jesus with your friends. You know, going out to the ballpark, just getting into conversations. You know, it's exciting to share good news. So share the best news ever. Keep on planting the seed. When I was a kid growing up, my old preacher brother, Edgar Lafferty, would say this. He said, you can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. And so the seeds that Paul and Barnabas planted to the Gentiles grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it multiplied. And for the majority of us listening to this lesson today, we are Gentiles. And I praise God that Paul and Barnabas and all those men and women who shared their faith and continued to share it, shared it. And so with boldness, plant the seeds of Jesus Christ into the nations of the world. I encourage you, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in His grace. Be a witness here. Be a missionary right here in America. Be a missionary whatever you are, wherever nation that you are listening from. Be on the mission for Jesus Christ. Plant the seeds. Remember, you can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today and we thank you for all that you do. I thank you for Paul and for Barnabas, and I thank you, God, for the boldness that they had to share the good news of the gospel of your grace around the world. Lord, thank you for men like that. Thank you for women who were willing to give their life for you. Men who are willing to give their lives for you. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we ask you to bless this teaching today. And it's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Daily Acts. Don't forget to subscribe to Journey's YouTube channel and sign up for notifications for future messages. If what you heard today was helpful or encouraging, please share it with others. Join us again tomorrow for the next leg of the Daily Acts journey.